And turn to Acts chapter 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 11. While you're getting there, the message title this week is Christian is not singular. Christian is not singular. We're going to read about a time when the church, the people in the church, were first called Christians. And this was in a town of Antioch, which is in Syria. It was north of Jerusalem. And the reason that they were called Christians first is because of their love towards one another. In other words, people would observe that this group getting together had a great love for one another. In this post-Christian society that we live in today, most people don't really have a picture of what a Christian is. They may just have a distorted picture. We all have stories of bad behaving Christians. And that's the picture a lot of people receive about Christians, people that call themselves Christian. Most societies around the world, when you go to their country, have a majority religion. 90 to 95% of that country is that particular religion. If you haven't traveled abroad, that probably doesn't make any sense to you at all. Because here in America, we have everything. Every type, every shape, everything. But when you go to a foreign country, which is a single majority religion, you learn about that religion, you learn how to live in that religion because the whole culture is doing it. But that's not so in America. You know, we have freedom, we have independence, and it can work against us. And one of the problems about that is we don't get to see what a Christian is like. What does a Christian believe? What do they do? Christianity is not a fad, and it's not a club. It isn't a political identity. It's not a lifestyle of music and clothing. It isn't a service club like Rotary. It isn't a professional association one joins. When we are born again, we're born again as an individual. In other words, each of us come to Christ as an individual. And our heart is changed. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. We are born again. At that moment, we've received the gift of eternal life. Right? Amen? And so at that moment, spiritually, we're set apart from the world. We're set apart from the world that we just came out of. And we're rescued out of that kingdom of darkness. But at that point, are we a Christian? That's my question. You know, we've been saved, we've been called out of the darkness, we've received eternal life. Are we a Christian? The fact of the matter is we're saved 5 minutes after we're born again. We don't have to do anything else to be saved. We're saved. We have eternal life. We've been given that gift. When we are saved, what are we saved from? We're saved from the wrath of God. The Bible says the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. But at that point, are we a Christian? Individuals in the New Testament were called followers of the way. They were called disciples. They were called believers. But we see in this chapter that we're getting ready to read, that's when they were first called Christians. And it's because they were identified as a community, a group, believing of one accord, in one mind. As we read through the Gospels, we see that Jesus was all about community, right? I mean, traveled around, all around Israel, and he would eat with people and he was always there with groups. I mean, he's about community. He doesn't say, eat my flesh and blood and then go hide out in the wilderness. No, he calls us into community. Heaven is not a singular environment either. Residents there live in community, and they have a love for one another. A love that I would venture to say is so deep that today, I don't think any of us can really imagine that depth of love. So, being a Christian is more observed of you than you proclaiming. In other words, we could proclaim we're a Christian all day long, but if we don't have the deeds that are born out of that faith, maybe we're not. Being a Christian is a membership in a group, a fellowship, a priesthood, a body, a living body. And I question whether you can be a Christian and not go to church. I mean, I know theologically it's technically possible, but as you hear me out on this message, you know, see if it challenges you. Being Christian implies a practice, implies a way of living and an identity. Like that prostitute who got married to the king, she now had a new identity. She was the queen or the king's wife. She was not the prostitute. Being a Christian implies change and growth. When we come into the family, when we're born again into the family and the kingdom, it implies that we've recognized where we were at in the darkness and that something's got to change. Something did change in our heart, but now more things have to change. And that's what we call the process of sanctification. We take on, we learn about Christian values, Christian participation, rather than being stagnant or even backsliding into the world. Being a Christian implies a certain set of beliefs and behaviors and values and ethics and a refraining from the values and ethics of the world. In other words, Jesus tells us we're in the world, but don't be of the world. If we look more like the world to other people who are in the world, you know, what do they see that's different about us? And so that's our challenge this morning. So are you to Acts 11 already?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're going to read 19 through 31. Follow along with me. So then, those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. So the persecution they're talking about is back in Jerusalem. Stephen, who was one of the disciples, was called before the Jewish leaders, and he was testifying. He was giving a background and a history of all the fathers and the forefathers and the Jewish history. And when he finished that, he looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus next to the glory of God. And right about that time, he was stoned. The kind where you get rocks thrown at you and you die. And yeah, I just won't be clear. So he got stoned, and Saul, who comes later to be known as Paul, was there, overseeing this activity. So that's the persecution they're talking about. So they fled. The Christians fled from there. All right, we're in verse 20 now. Chapter 11, verse 20. But there were some of the men of Cyprus and Cyrene who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also. preaching the Lord Jesus. So remember we said just a moment, they fled and they were speaking to the Jews alone, but now some other men come into the church. They were disciples, and they started preaching the gospel to people that weren't Jews, to the Greeks in particular. 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. So in other words, the news of this event, this activity, by word of mouth, got down to Jerusalem. And so the church there sent this man named Barnabas, who Barnabas means encourager. So they sent him, hey, go check out Antioch and see what's happening up there and tell us. Verse 23. Then when he arrived, Barnabas arrived, and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and he began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So there's kind of the core of our thesis this morning, our message about why they were called Christians, when, and how did this come about. So what are the basics? Based on what we just read, based on scriptures that we read in the New Testament, what are the basics of being a Christian? It starts with a community. If you're a Christian, you are part of a community. You're part of this universal church that's going to be in heaven. If you are a Christian and you're part of this community, you, as we see in here, you get together with the other Christians. It's called assembly, general assembly. Maybe you can use the word church or church service, but you know that's what Christians do. Christians are observed doing one another. In other words, in the Bible, there's probably at least 31 or more one another scriptures. Give us an example of how to one another. Can anybody think of one off the top of their head? Love one another.
Feed one another.
Feed one another.
Forgive
one another.
Forgiveness.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of them. But that's what Christians do. And we do that when we get together. And obviously, if we have to forgive one another, that means that some of us are offending one another. You know, it may not be intentional, and I'm going to give everybody grace to recognize that it wasn't intentional. But, you know, for us to think that, wow, how can my Christian brother and sister offend me? You know, that's not right.
But I think the other side of that is just as important as Christians. We should not take offense.
Yeah, yeah. And
have no opinion.
And if we do, we should forgive. Amen. Christians, if we're part of a community, we demonstrate grace. We give grace to one another. Why? Because God gave us grace first. None of us were righteous and holy enough for God to call us into his family. So we all received grace first. And therefore, we should give grace. If we're a Christian in a community, we have mercy for one another. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are those who...
Blessed are the weak.
Blessed are the weak. Blessed are those who are merciful. Because they shall be the sons of God. So, we are to give mercy. Mercy is being compassionate on someone who doesn't deserve it. So, for us to think, I'm not going to give that person mercy because they don't deserve it, that's the opposite of what Jesus teaches us. And we learn that in community. We learn that in a group. And love. If we're Christian and we're part of a community, we have to love others. We are to love them like Jesus. That's no easy task. It's an ongoing process. And during that process, you're going to get scars. You're going to get bruises. But that's part of loving one another. We work through that over time. What are the basic tenets of Christianity or being a Christian? There's some basic beliefs. One of them, the first, is the gospel. The gospel, when we use that term, very simply means that we acknowledge, according to the scriptures, that Jesus came in the flesh, that he was beaten and died on the cross, that he was buried in the tomb, that he was there for 3 days, that he was raised again in the flesh, and for 40 days people saw him. They ate with him. They touched him. Remember Thomas coming into the room and Jesus having a little fun with him? So this is a fact. It's an eyewitness fact, and that Jesus ascended back to heaven. That's the gospel. So anyone that has gone through that spiritual transformation of becoming a Christian, of being born again, has acknowledged those beliefs. That's the core tenets of being a Christian. There are other things that are core tenets of being a Christian. That we believe that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. They are God. They make up God. They each have divine personalities, but they are God as one. We recognize that we all have sinned and need a Savior. None of us have not sinned. We've all sinned, and we need a Savior. That's a core belief. And who's that Savior? It's only Jesus, right? And he is the only way to the Father. And when we become born again because of what Jesus did, we are no longer under the Mosaic law. We are under grace. And then a Christian believes that the Bible is God's word. It isn't just made up stories. It's not just good teachings. It's God's word. That he, through his Spirit, put in the minds of men that wrote it down, and it's infallible because it came from God. God is not a liar. God cannot lie. God is truth. So that's why we believe that the Bible is God's word. So that may be a challenge for you. You may be saying, oh, there's so much in there that I don't know about or I have questions about. Fine. But just give God the benefit of the doubt that what he says is true. And then finally, that Jesus and the Bible describe this process of becoming holy, and that it should be the desire and intention of everyone claiming to be a follower. So in other words, we are to desire to see our life change, to be more holy, to sin less, to understand our new identity. So the other thing about being a Christian is that our character will grow. The foundation of that is faith. It starts with faith. Anybody here that's built a house or is building a house, you got to have a foundation, right? I mean, you got to have those piers in the ground or, you know, concrete walls in the ground, something. You got to have foundation. And that's faith. So that's what Peter tells us. It starts with our faith. And then to that we add moral excellence. And to that we add knowledge, knowledge of God, knowledge of the Bible. And to that we add self-control. Self-control. Should that be part of a Christian's life? Yeah. And do we automatically have it?
No.
No. It's a spiritual discipline, And it's gained through putting out the effort. And we're going to get bumps and bruises and scars. But self-control is a spiritually guided thing. So none of us had self-control before we came to know Jesus. But now that we've come to know him, we can have self-control. You may find that hard to believe. I'm out of control. I can't have self-control. Well, you can with the Holy Spirit residing in you. Another thing that adds on to this is perseverance of faith. How many times have we gotten to the point where something happens and we feel like giving up on our faith? You know? Amen. We say, oh, this is too hard. I don't know if God really is there. I don't know if God is taking care of me. You know, we have questions and we want to give up on our faith, but we need to persevere through that. And that's a thing that we grow through, and we all have to go through it. It doesn't automatically come. So if you find yourself having a difficult time persevering through your faith, you're in good company and you're on the right track. And then godliness. You know, as we go through all these things, we begin to find it more important to us to live in godliness, to want to exhibit godliness. And then brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Now that sounds very easy, doesn't it? I mean, all you have to do to have brotherly kindness is go sit out by the campfire and sing Kumbaya. Well, not exactly. But brotherly kindness. You know, how many times when we've been irritated or offended by someone, do we struggle with just being kind back to that person? That's brotherly kindness. No matter what, just be kind. You know, if you just go through life and you get a lot of things wrong, but you're kind to other people, you're doing pretty good. And then finally, love. There's different kinds of love. There's a brotherly love. There's a godly love. There's a romantic love. And all that's part of love. There's brother and sister love that we should have for one another. And a simple way to understand that love is to put their needs ahead of yours. You start with that, you're going to begin to understand what love is. Finally, as you're growing, you will gain mastery over your flesh. Anybody understand what the flesh is?
Wanting to sin.
Yeah. Your body just says, I want to do this. Yeah. I got to do this. And that's our flesh speaking out.
Also, like arguments. If somebody's trying to get you into an argument, I could not before I had Christ in my life. I couldn't not be triggered. And now I just pray. And the harder they try, the harder I pray. And then I don't have to fight back. It works.
Amen. Amen. So we gain mastery over our flesh. And what is it replaced with? In Galatians 5, it tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. And that is this list. Love. Joy. Peace. You know, if people see you now and they see peace in your life and they knew you before you became a Christian, do you think they saw peace in your life before you became a Christian?
No.
Probably not. I know they didn't see it in mine. Patience. Oh, still working on that one.
That's a real challenge.
That is. Yeah. Kindness. Again, you know, I hope you go away this week just thinking about that one word, kindness. How can I be kind? And God will give you an opportunity.
Well, the more you want.
Yeah. And then goodness. Do things that are good. Try to be good. There's nothing wrong with being good. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is doing things in spite of the fact that you cannot physically see what you're supposed to be doing. That's faithfulness. You may be saying to your mind, no, I'm feeling like I'm supposed to go do this, but I don't understand why. It doesn't make sense. I don't see it. Well, go. That's faith. and repeat it. That's faithfulness. And then finally, gentleness. Through the Spirit, a Christian is going to be gentle. If we're going around like the Tasmanian devil and causing trouble and getting in fights and being angry with everybody, that's not gentleness. And then self-control. Again, that's mastering our flesh, not letting sin have dominion over us. Last slide. Okay. So, part of this new format is, now it's your turn to say what you picked up out of today's message that you can take away this week for the coming week. Maybe you have a reflection of the message. And the point I want to hope that we get out of today's message is that our identity, our new identity, in other words, we're no longer that prostitute. Our new identity informs our life, the things that we do. In other words, what we believe informs what we do. So what are some of your reflections on today's message, or what can you take away from today?
Well, I think that it says that they were called Christians. They didn't call themselves. So I'm guilty. I am guilty, and it convicts me every time I do call myself a Christian when people ask me, are you a Christian? Because I figure if I'm living the life I'm supposed to be living, right, and exuding the Spirit of Christ, right, people should look at me and say, hey, that's a Christian. You know what I mean? I see a glow in him. I see something about him that's different. You know, it's not the way he dresses. It's not the way, it's the way he carries himself. There's something, the spirit that's within him that makes him different. You know, and they were called Christians. So my point being, like I said, I'm guilty of this all the time. But, you know, they were called Christians. We shouldn't call ourselves Christians. People should look at us and say, hey, that's a Christian. You know, this guy's a Christian. This lady here is a Christian. You can tell just by the way their demeanor, the way they act, the spirit, the kindness, the love that they have. You know, that's, you know, one thing that kind of got me there again. You know, this is something I've been working on for a long, long time. And, you know, they were called Christians. So people should, you know, I feel that people should be able to see you and call you a Christian, not, hey, I'm a Christian. You know, look at me. You know,
so. Amen. Amen.
Exactly.
That's so true, but there are so many good people that don't know the doorway, and the doorway is Jesus Christ. So,
amen.
That's why I'm a Christian, is because I follow Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They should be able to, people should be able to see that and say, yeah.
But I can look at a good person and think, wow, you're really sweet, you're kind, you're very helpful. But they don't know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
On a personal level, they haven't accepted him into the center of their heart. So sometimes there's a difference, and I can't always tell myself.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm still a babe learning about all this because.
No.
Yes.
You know, I accepted Jesus when I was in my 20s, but it didn't really take effect until I moved to Colorado. Mm-hmm. I was under. A long story, but since I came here. He's shown me how much he loves me and that I am a part of his family.
Mm. Amen.
That's what makes me a Christian, is following Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You don't, you're not a Christian because you've achieved all these things, but that's the path.
I just because he can't see me back here, so I was like, it's our identity. And it's basically our thinking. And I've been through so many self-help things, like over the years, and courses, and neuro-linguistic programming, and all this goal-reaching, but it wasn't until I plugged God in that any of that worked. None of it works without God, and it's like all positive thinking. It's like, no, you know, you got to train your mind on God, and sometimes it's not always positive thinking. Sometimes it's really the darkest, scariest things that drive us to God. And it's like, I'm finally free of worrying about, am I going to get lost in those dark thoughts? Is it going to get so dark that I'm not going to come back? And that's where I was like a year and a half ago. And so He has made me completely like new as a new person. I have completely better health. I mean, I have a house. I have my life is completely changed. I am definitely a new person. So it's our identity, but it goes from the inside out, and it starts with Him.
Amen.
Yeah. I was just when you were speaking, I was thinking about the Bible, and when I was an infant, I spoke like an infant. I walked like an infant when I was a child, and sometimes you know I think of myself and I'm just learning how to walk. And then I fall, and then I, like, you know, we all know how to walk now, but, you know, I don't know what you were saying, but that was pretty cool.
Well, for me, it's a personal choice, and I have to change my thinking, and I finally, I think, learning how to do that, to actually be able to put the flesh down and change my mind and say, no, I'm not letting that thought, I'm not taking a hold of that thought, but I'm going to choose to believe God.
Right.
And that's my biggest struggle with myself.
To me, on the last slide, on the previous slide, patience of the list there, patience has got to be the hardest of all. When you go out into the world in the mornings, you're dealing with your co-workers, you're dealing with, you know, other people in store, some get rude, some don't, other drivers, you know, driving stupid, electronics, you know. Trying to deal with electronics and stuff, and there are some days, you know, I have to work real hard, trying not to go off, and especially when you're dealing with coworkers, you know, you see all these things going on that should not be going on, and try to be a team member, help out the other guy with something that's really not your job or anything else, but then the others, they just, you know, well, that's not my job, and they don't want to be team play, they don't want to work together. So, you know, that's another thing you got to learn, that everybody, you don't have to do just the one thing. There's other things that's got to be getting done.
Yeah.
God often told us, after we blow it with someone or a family or a client, God often gives us another bite of the apple. And you know what? Two major things took place this past week that Carla's family and her brother's in the hospital, which we need to pray for, big time, but the family coalescing around that whole awful, awful situation. And then Carla calling me and going, you know, we're going to be up here all week. We've been invited to stay at my ex-husband's house. and it's like, okay, go for it. And you know what? If he came to the Lord, what was it, about 6 years ago? Charlie came to the Lord about 6 years ago. We're believers. We're Christians. Okay? Why can't we behave in such a way where we demonstrate love throughout the entire family and cohesiveness, even after failure? Okay? So, it was an amazing week. Then we had, I had a woman show up at my office Monday morning and go, you know what? She goes, I'm really angry with you, and you haven't treated my work properly, and I called a number of times and got nothing, and I still have this problem. And she was somewhere between angry and in tears. Whoa. And so, you know, I got to watch the amazing unfolding blessing of God allowing us to have the income and be paid for a number of jobs to be able to give us the space to go spend a couple of days on that terrible, difficult situation that took place that really ultimately wasn't our fault. And the only fault that we had was not taking care of the problem completely. Mm. And you know, it's going to be a no-charge deal. And then thinking about this yesterday, as I went over there, and there's a two-year-old little beautiful blonde-headed girl, and her mother, and this woman, and it's like, And the Holy Spirit's like, not yet. Monday's good. And I'm going to be inviting him to the church. And so Amen. God gives us the second bite.
Amen. Susan?
I just had a rough time this week. My ex-husband called me and told me that his wife passed away. And he said he might be coming here to see my son. And that brought up a lot of issues. I forgive him and everything that he's done to me. But at the same point, how do I have to deal with that situation? When he comes here, I usually let him stay at my house, but I just don't think I'm strong enough for that. Because he talks like a silver-tongued devil, and he says all this shit. and I buy into it because we were together when I was young, so I believe him,
yeah.
Even though he lies right to my face.
Well, I think the Bible tells us that's part of what we do as a church, so I don't know if Joel and Carl are on the way out immediately, but maybe you can get some counsel from them on how they've been able to deal with that.
All right. I was going to say something about what Don said, what just came to my mind, Don, is even if your coworkers are doing all that, they're looking at you, and they're seeing that you are going the extra mile. You are showing kindness.
I'm hoping that is happening, but
sometimes realize you are a Christian. This man is different.
But it may take years.
Yeah.
And as another sister, I just want to say I lift you up. As a female, it is you have to be strong, and I hope you have family support. Pastor Mark can be called at any time. You can call his cell phone, and he knows where I live if you ever need to talk to someone. Or, you know, I mean, I've been down some roads as a female, so I just wanted to lift you up and give you support.
Maybe you can find someplace else for me to spend the night.
Well, I'm just gonna tell my son. I want my son to be able to see him because he hasn't seen him in probably 15, 20 years, and I'd like him to be able to have a relationship with him. But as far as him living in my house, I'll let him come to my house, but I can't have him living in my house. Even if it's for a week, I mean, I usually do it, but I just can't.
Mm-hmm. Would I do it at Potter's house with some men that want to move in with me?
I can hear this.
Would we do it at Potter's house in Niagara Falls? Some men want to move in with me, and I know it's not good for me. I say, well, Bishop Booz, let's talk to him, and he'll say, no, he's not allowed to move in with you. So it's not my fault.
There you go.
Enthusiasm can never overcome old age and wisdom.
That's a good one.
Well, ex-husband thing that I've been thinking about the last month is I've always prayed for my first ex-husband, you know, because he's my children's father. And but I don't think I ever really meant it. I still thought he's a devil person.
Oh, gosh.
And so now I'm trying to see him as God sees him and see if he can make his way to Jesus.
There's some spiritual growth there.
I think truth say fake it till you make it.
Yeah. There's the truth, though. The truth can be funny. Right.
Well, another new function of what we're doing in the new format is at the end here, we're going to take any requests that anybody has. Like if you have a request of something you need, let us know. And if you have a report of how that earlier need worked out, then you could share that report. So by way of announcement, the Pagosa Peak Open School is having another coffee house this Thursday at 6. It's a fundraiser for them. It's about $10 to get in. If you want to go and you don't have the money, the church will cover it. We just kind of consider that as one of our mission places. But does anybody have a need that you want to ask the body for this week? And while you're thinking, what we're going to do is we're going to write the needs down and the reports down, and so we're going to see how God has worked in each of those as time goes on. So. Anybody have one? I know I'm springing it on you. Maybe you just have to get ready for next week.
Is this too specific? I was going to ask David if he could help me at Walmart.
Just call me. All you got to do is just call me.
All right. Well, I'm telling you right now. 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay.
You
book
2 o'clock
tomorrow?
Right.
All right. I sense a hand up and behind me.
Yeah, I need a. I need help getting the trash out because my previous roommate left a ton of trash and I bagged it, so I know it's good in good bags. But now that I have it in bags, it's been sitting there. It's starting to thaw, and we're getting rats. So I need just somebody. I just need help to go to the dump. So at some point, that's just my request for the week.
Okay.
And I want to say thank you for praying for my friend Gordy in Boulder. He's home from the hospital, pneumonia the third time. He's got oxygen tank, got expectorants, he has COPD. He's doing much better.
Awesome.
Great. Yeah.
Prayer, Carla's brother.
Yeah, we're gonna pray here in a moment.
That's all I need. I need prayers for Terry.
All right, well, let's just gather around and pray. Let's get that part going.
Come fill out some surveys.
Get that over with.